Thank you, Trudy. Thank you, Clara. Beautiful. Oh, you are the light. Isn't that a wonderful thing to realize? And the greatest commandment is as a light is simply that you love. It's not complex. Sometimes it's a little bit tricky. But the commandment is that you love, that you always love. I loved when I discovered unity and looking at the universality of the message of the man Jesus and the beauty of the Christ light that's found in everyone, whatever spiritual path you walk. And that's what unites us, and the power of love to let us learn and teach and heal and be healed, to be present in new ways for ourselves and others, comes when you realize that the story of the man Jesus is actually a love story of the divine's love for all of us and for us being called. How do we live that love each and every day? It reframes traditional Christianity into you being born as an original blessing, as a spark of the divine. It's not about vicarious atonement and sacrifice where one person has to suffer and die because all of us have done awful things. That's vicarious atonement. That never made sense to me. What does make sense to me is that that soul chose to live an experience that showed that we are always redeemed by love, not saved from sin. We're redeemed by love, the greatest commandment and the essence of what the divine is. God is love. Jesus loved everyone. He loved the outcasts and the inner circle. He loved the lepers. He included women in his inner circle. They're there in plain sight, but we always picture, because of a lot of artwork, it's just men. It was an inclusive circle. Romans, tax collectors, everyone was welcomed and blessed with a heart filled with love. He became love incarnate in ways that continue to inspire me and call me. Even the experience of going to the cross is not so much about the suffering as it is by the transcendent power of love to take us from even our deepest challenges into new holy places. All along the way, at this end of his life, this last week that had time with others, time apart, glorious welcoming and terrible condemnation, all of the challenges that went with it, three accompanied Jesus all the way. Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, and John. The disciple John, the beloved one, as many traditions will sometimes call him. They walked all the way. But the one that was with him through the entire experience of the garden and beyond was Mary Magdalene. You all know that I walked the path of Magdalene with a deep dedication. And this year, it came even deeper. I read the following passage from a book that I'm studying with a wonderful circle of Magdalene sisters, from The Healing Wisdom of Mary Magdalene by Jack Angelo. And this captures it for me. Yahshua uses his spiritual power to show that a person survives death, and his beloved Miriam is the first person to witness this. Here, the whole point of the story of resurrection is revealed. Being able to show the subtle body to another proves that Yahshua was a great spiritual master, But much more importantly, it proves the survival of the soul after the death of the body. Yeshua is dramatically proclaiming there is no death. This has been tragically missed by Christianity in its need to make Jesus the God-man and the only person with the power to physically rise from the dead. Never did Jesus do anything just for him. It was always as a living example for all of us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm not the only figure that lives this, but if you follow me, I'll show you the way to walk with the divine presence no matter what is happening. I'll show you the truth of the presence of spirit even in the darkest times. And I'll welcome you into a life that is one of change and transformation that allows us to grow and deepen our connections with one another and the presence of the divine. Don Curtis, my first Unity minister from the Way of the Christ, says, "We are all disciples whether we know it or not. The spiritual path eternally beckons us. Those who follow the upward path make a conscious decision to follow the Christ light, what the Master called the way, the truth, and the life." And another set of three that have always been my favorite come from 1 Corinthians 13:13. My number again. "And now faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love." Faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. Faith helps you walk the way. Hope lets you see the truth. And love helps you encounter and embrace life. Those weave together. I took home 10 books with me yesterday morning to find some new quotes and some new things to use, and I went into prayer and meditation and never opened one of those books. So I'm going to share with you what came. It was birthed on Tuesday with our circle of Magdalene sisters, but it just grew in depth, and it's like, this is the message for this Easter. So here goes. What I got this year was, we always look at the Easter story from one perspective, that of the Master Jesus. I've talked for years about the process, about going into the tomb and the 3 days in the tomb and what that symbolizes and coming out. And I've always focused on that. This year, each day it grew stronger until yesterday. It was a full vision. And it was, what about Magdalene and Mother Mary and the disciples? Because when one of us experiences something, those who love you experience it as well. There are times where we go through the challenges and are suffering, and others who love us walk through it with us. There are other times when someone we love is facing a challenge. How do we walk with them through that? And I realized the two of them gave us the most beautiful example of how we can truly be present with one another as we go through life. Their processes were parallel and intertwined. And as Jesus was experiencing a spiritual transformation, Magdalene too was experiencing a transformation. His was working in the realm of spirit because he's laid his body down. Hers, she is fully in her body, and so hers is the embodied side of the same experience. This year, our theme is embodied spirituality, that we are meant to bless our lives and our outer expression just as much as our inner souls and spirits. The most beautiful and deep expression of Magdalene and Jesus coming together comes in the Gospel of John. Before this, she has washed his feet, she has anointed him, she has walked with him. I believe with all of my heart that they were total spiritual partners. People have said, oh, was there a bloodline? Was she the physical grail? Were they married? Yes or no? Personally, I hope so, because they both came to experience the depth and breadth of life with all of its expressions. But I'm not attached to that. The thing that was important is how they walked through life as companions in a transformative process that let them embody grace and love in ways that will continue to bless us and do to this day. In the Gospel of John, he emerges into the garden. The tomb is in a garden, and he's been placed in that garden tomb the day before, and gardens are found all through the Bible, particularly at important spiritual moments. And that's because nature reminds us of the cycles of life. That sometimes things are down in the ground and you can't see the life that is there. And then the next thing you know, it's spring and it bursts forth and you get to see it. Was that plant not there just because we couldn't see it? No. It's realizing those cycles help us understand life and ourselves even better. You have a Garden of Eden that opens the Hebrew scriptures, and you have the garden in Revelation that is the new heaven and the new earth at the end. In Jesus' process, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he goes alone, that I spoke of last Sunday, communing with God and dealing with all of the emotions and then aligning his will with the divine, and then the garden of the tomb. Two gardens once again. The garden also is a place a little bit separate from the busyness of the outer world, because we all need that connection to nature and to be apart from all of this stuff so that we can just be for a moment rather than focus on doing. So what happens is he's been placed in the tomb, and the next morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She goes there alone, and she realized that the stone has been rolled away, and she looks in and Jesus is gone. The body wrappings are there just in a little pile at the end, but the head wrappings are carefully folded where his head had laid. It's a beautiful reminder that it's not what happens, it's how do we perceive it, what's our consciousness that needs to be honored. The rest can go. It's our soul experience, our learning. And so she runs and gets the disciples and brings them back and says, he's gone. And they all look around and they can't find him. And they say, we don't know who took him or where he went. And the disciples all leave again. Mary Magdalene stays. And then she kneels down and she looks into the tomb again. And she is the one who sees two angels, one at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus' body had laid. She shifted in that moment from that initial outer perception of he's gone to there's more happening here. She's seeing with spiritual eyes, and she sees the angels that were present with him during the transformation and are now present with her as she encounters her beloved transformed and not visible in that moment. She walks not alone, for the angels are there for her as well. And then a figure approaches her, and she doesn't know who it is. I think she is so in grief that she can't look up and see. And she's having this spiritual experience anyway. And she says, "Oh, you must be the gardener. Do you know where they've taken the body? Who took it?" And just before that, the angels and this figure ask, "Why are you weeping? Keep open to a miracle." And so he calls her name, Maryam Magdalena. And as she hears his voice, she awakens. And she can see on the energy of that sound that he is still present with her. When the world was created, it wasn't spoken into being, it was chanted and sung into being. It's sound, it's energy. And his voice awakened her. And she turned and she looked and she saw that it was him. And she said, "Rabboni, teacher, master, you're here." And of course, what does she do? She reaches out to touch him, as we all would. And there's the famous line, "Noli me tendare." And it means, "Don't touch me. Don't cling to me." He says, "I'm not finished yet." He's saying, "I have come back and crossed the veil. Your love has called me, and we truly are one beyond outer physical forms. And allow me, now that you see me, even though I'm a little different, allow me to continue my process. Allow me to just be present with you here and now." I've always loved the passages, "Have the ears to hear and the eyes to see." That has new power, doesn't it? That was the portal for Magdalene to experience her beloved. She had the ears to hear and the eyes to see. And in that, they united again. And he said, "Don't touch me." And that brings me always to the scripture, "Be in the world, but not of the world." There's a part of us that's embodied in the world, but there's also a part of us that is soul and spirit that is not of the world, that is equally present, just like their paths intertwine, those intertwine for all of us. Faith, hope, and love abide, but the greatest of these is love. With love, have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. With love, be in this world, but not of this world. A number of years back, I was blessed to go to the Cave of Mary Magdalene in the south of France. And coming back down the mountain after I had experienced that, I was coming down through the rocky path alone. I fell and broke my leg. The thing that I heard as I was falling is, "Protect your camera." I'm like, "What about my head?" "Protect your camera." So I did. I held onto my camera, hit the ground, my leg broke. I realized there were rocks all around me, but it's like I'd been nestled in this little soft spot on the ground. And of course, amazingly enough, with all of my spiritual evolution, my first response was, "Uh-oh, did I do something wrong? That I've been knocked to the ground on the way back down the mountain." And the presence of Magdalene came and said, "Dear one, of course not. Dear one, there is a blessing in this." It wasn't until I got home and then put the pictures on my laptop, as I laid there with my leg mounted up on pillows in a cast, and I started looking at the pictures I had taken up at the cave. And what I got was the seven stained glass windows that are the opening to the cave of Mary Magdalene in the south of France. Those were portals, and each one was part of the story of how we can integrate divine masculine and divine feminine, how we can be embodied but do it with great love and light. Those were templates for us to work with. The first three were the marriage, where the first miracle took place. The thing that I got was that couldn't have happened until the two of them came into full union. And then Mother Mary said, hey, you're in full union with your beloved now. Turn the water to wine, which he did, the first miracle. The next is the foot washing, and she gently and lovingly, with humility, washes his feet, which is a dedicated act of service. He is so moved by it that in the upper room, before he does communion, he does a foot washing. He took the gift that she had given him and went, oh, I want to offer it. I know what it meant to me. I want to offer it to others. And so he did. The third is the anointing, where she blesses him with sacred oil for the journey that is coming soon. She gives him the ultimate blessing that he might embody spirit through this coming experience that leads to Easter, to resurrection, and to ascension. The last three windows are abiding at the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. I went on retreat with a beloved soul sister and was blessed to commune with Magdalene at depth, just journaled what came. And I'd like to share with you a part of what came at each of the windows. This surprised me, some of it, touched me deeply, and every time I re-encounter it, it speaks to me at an even deeper level. So think about Jesus and Magdalene. Think about your life and someone that you love that perhaps is going through a challenge now, or perhaps you're the one going through a challenge. Let the messages that come from the Magdalene side of the story interweave with the ones that come from the man Jesus and bring you new hope, new grace, new love. The first, the true abiding at the cross, reminds us how to walk faithfully through life and to see love and light even in the darkness. Here are the words of the Magdalene. Even now, this moment is hard to experience. Even knowing the greater glory to come, how painful it is to watch a beloved suffer. Keeping with me the jar of sacred oils and waters with which I anointed him, keeping the top open so I could smell the fragrance of the soul blessing given, praying that the aroma would reach to him and bring him peace. I promised to abide near and dear always, and this I did as best I could. And when I faltered, which I did, the fragrance and the remembrance of our divine union would bring comfort and acceptance of the great work to which we were devoted from before our first breaths and beyond our last ones. The next resurrected life, where she is in the garden on the ground, rising above outer appearances and embodying hope and grace in love. Miracle of miracles! My beloved returned to me and to the world, not exactly as flesh, but is a true blend of heaven and earth, an auric body of spirit so strong that it could emerge through the veil in a manifest form. The true light shining through every cell and gently illumining a realm of new possibilities. Oh, how I wanted to reach out and hold him in my loving embrace once again, if only for a moment. But he asked me to refrain from touch in the outer. And so our hearts, minds, and souls united, and we danced together in devoted love upon the gentle breeze of spirit that moved even the flowers around us. And the window of conscious ascension, where Jesus has his back to her and is moving to the light, and she is in prayer at his feet. This is a window for embracing transformation and integration and opening to an even deeper union through love that abides through all of the changes of life. From the Magdalene. And so united in spirit, we abided and shared the soul journey we had made as he shifted from physical form. Each shared their faith and their doubt, their love and heartache, their peace and descent into chaos, all accepted and wholly shared, nothing left out. A true merging of heaven and earth allowed by the love of the one true light. All knowing that we were forever united as one, and that wherever our souls were called to be, our light would hold us in a tender embrace, unbroken by time and space. And then the moment came, one of deep grief and yet profound joy, the moment of the parting of our earthly selves. With one more long gaze between beloveds, with one more deep breath to hold the remembrance within always, with one more smile of honoring our soul union, we released. He turned and entered the living light as I went deep into meditation. I joined him in the light for an instant, and now carry a spark of that inner flame that lights my soul even now. Jesus and Magdalene, they both have gifted us with a living example of how we can encounter life and death, how we can allow and then even embrace change, how we can hold each other lovingly and tenderly as we each do our very best on this journey we call life. For me, this makes even more universal and at the same time more personal the message of Easter, the living example of Jesus and of Magdalene, both of them offering their presence and their love and reminding us that we never walk alone. Richard Rohr, in his Easter meditation a few years ago, gathered something together that I love and I would like to close with, because Easter is about hope. It's about new life. It's about realizing it wasn't just for one person over 2,000 years ago. It is for us here and now. From Richard Rohr, the risen Christ is the standing icon of humanity in its fullest and final destiny. He is the pledge and guarantee of what God will do with all of our crucifixions. At last, we can meaningfully live with love and hope It is no longer an absurd or tragic universe. Our hurts now become the home for our greatest hopes. Faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Take a breath. Oh, sweet Spirit, each one of us in this moment opens to a deep communion with Jesus and Magdalene and the deep and powerful, profound message of Easter. May we each in this moment realize we are sitting in a garden amid kindred souls with whom it is safe to be and to process and to emerge. We are safe ground for one another. This is sacred space for our soul journeys to be shared. For we walk with one another on this path of living, loving light, the presence of the Christ, now and always. Om, amen, and blessed be.